Do appreciate Brother Jim leading the good songs about love this morning, because we're going to be focusing on that topic today. Romans chapter 13 is going to be where we're looking at. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the entire chapter, but this morning I would like us to focus on some specific verses here, and those are verses 8 through 10 of Romans chapter 13. As we think about this topic, but to love one another, we see that this thought occurs within a context of, owe no one anything but to love one another. You know, we're all born into relationships when we enter into this world. And this is pretty much unavoidable for our lives. When we think about our relationships, this particular passage has some things to say about how we form relationships and how we build relationships as Christians. Paul writes these words, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So our first relationships are usually with our family members, and these relationships set the tone for how we're going to build relationships throughout our lives. We make friends our own age. Eventually, we spread out into the world, connect with many others at work and at church and out in times of recreation. And with the online world today, it's even possible for us to have relationships with those who are very far away from us. We have the blessing of being able to develop relationships like no other generation has before. And so we need to ask the question, how does God want us to manage our relationships? How do we build these relationships and maintain them? God is the greatest of relationship builders. And in essence, that's what he is seeking to accomplish in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 19, we see God's relationship building foundation. He says, Paul writes, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. We could insert relationship builder in there. He himself is that. What has he done to build these relationships? He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Paul's talking about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles. And he's made both, that is Jews and Gentiles, he's made them both one. He's brought them all together. In the Jewish mind, that is the extent of the world. The world was divided, and you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. And that was it, no more. And so to make those two united is to build a relationship. And how did he do this? He broke down that middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh, that is, in his person, the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So Jesus brought together in the cross both Jews and Gentiles. He abolished the separation between them, which was the law of Moses, and he made peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So Jesus built relationships. It started with breaking down that separation between the Jews and the Gentiles, but then he did something else on the cross. He broke down the separation between God and man, and he brought us back to God through him. Now, we really don't understand the extent of the problems between Jews and Gentiles as Paul understood them and experienced them personally in his life, but we do understand the problem of division and the problem of relationships between various disparate groups of people. And the basic emphasis here is not upon further division, but upon unity, bringing all together. And how did God do that? He did it through Christ. He did it through the cross. He did it, he showed it in this way. This is how we build relationships, the way that God built relationships. God doesn't divide. God brings together. God doesn't separate. God unites. And that is what this is about. Romans 13:8. Having good relationships based upon God's example and initiative and creative power. So when we come across this verse here, owe no one anything except to love one another. This is a very broad statement. Owe no one anything. What is this talking about? Well, it's talking about how people construct relationships. And people build relationships. And I'm talking about people in contrast to God. Because people build relationships in a very different way than God builds relationships. What this doesn't mean is the idea of, you know, owe no one anything. Does that mean that I can never take out a loan? No, it's not talking about that. I know sometimes people use this passage to refer to that. It's not talking about getting out of debt and staying out of debt, you know. It's not talking about money. This is about relationships. It's not talking about not keeping our commitments. You know, sometimes we, in the course of working with other people, will say, yes, I will do this task. I will get this job done. And we make a commitment. It's not talking about that. You can't look to this verse and say, oh, God said, oh, no one anything. So this really hard commitment that I make, I'm out of it. I don't have to do it anymore. No, that's not what it's talking about. We should keep our commitments. We're supposed to let our yes be yes and our no be no, as Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 37. So it's not talking about financial debt. It's not talking about not keeping our commitments. So what is it talking about? What does the expression mean? Owe no one anything. It's this idea of the quid pro quo. It's this idea of you give me something and I'll owe you something. And then you'll owe me something in return and on. This idea of I scratch your back and you scratch mine. And we will continue in our relationship based upon how we treat each other in this way. And if you don't scratch my back, then I'm not going to scratch your back. And that's the kind of relationships that people build. That's the kind of relationships that the world builds. That's not the kind of relationships that God builds, though. Now, a lot of times we will use this way of building relationships because the world uses this. But as Christians, we've got to be careful not to let this kind of thinking invade our Christianity, because this kind of thinking is limited and it results in a lot of times problems. So Paul, when he says, owe no one anything, he's referring to a system of pleasing people by owing personal favors or by doing things reciprocally. That kind of thinking leads to people not really loving one another as God wants us to love one another, but rather using one another as objects. It leads to seeing people as tools instead of as persons. And it creates artificial standards for relationship. We constantly worry about what the other person is thinking because we have this obligation to them within our mind. We've created this obligation. And sometimes we don't want to fulfill those obligations, and so we get stressed about it. Those obligations can create resentment because now the other person is expecting us to do it. And if I want to meet his expectations, I've got to do what he wants me to do. It creates legalistic demands upon others, and it results in pettiness and possessiveness. You see, this is a very selfish system. It's not doing somebody a favor, quote unquote. It's being obligated. It's getting involved in a situation where the obligation doesn't go away. I remember many years ago, I was visiting a prisoner in the prison system, and he was telling me about how he got into prison and, you know, he had committed murder. And I said, well, how did you end up committing murder? He said, well, I got involved in dealing drugs with other people. And I was dealing the drugs, and we, my brother and I, he was in it with his brother, and both his brother and he were in this. He said, this is a true story, by the way. It's not a preacher story. So he said, both my brother and I, we got involved in doing drugs, and our handler, he kept pushing us to do more and more and more. And we finally started seeing exactly what was happening, and we wanted out. And we went to the handler and we said, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We want out. And their handler said, oh no, you can't get out of this. You see, you owe me now. You owe me. And you got to do what I tell you to do or else it's... And they said, well, if he's going to kill us, we'll just kill him first. And they did. That's the kind of system that I'm talking about here. And maybe that's an extreme example, because a lot of times this system of quid pro quo, this system of I scratch your back, you scratch mine, is done very innocently with other people. But if it takes root within our hearts and becomes the prime motivation for how we're acting toward others, it is not godly. It is just selfish. Why? Because I'm not doing it because I love the other person. I'm doing it just to get ahead for me. And that's the problem with this kind of thinking. Oh, no one anything. Seeking to please people is an impossible task. Paul wrote, Galatians 1 verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. It's not about pleasing men. Ultimately, that's where this line of thinking ends up. When we owe other people things, we seek to please people instead of pleasing God. We can't do it consistently. We can't know if we're really pleasing someone else or not. We end up creating false standards of acceptance, and we don't do God's will. But how does God build relationships? God doesn't build relationships through this quid pro quo type system. And why is that? Because we could never give back to God what he has given to us in the same measure, right? God is the greatest giver. And you can't outgive God. You can never go beyond God's giving. And so you could never measure up in a quid pro quo system with God, right? Which means you could never build a relationship with God. But God doesn't build relationships in that way. How does he do it? He does it by loving us. 1 John 4 and verses 10 and 11, and this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, it's not about us loving God. It's not about that. It's about God loving us. He loved us. And if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. It doesn't get reciprocated. It gets passed along. God loves us and we love others. That's how God builds relationships. By being unselfish, even to his enemies, even to those who would never scratch his back if he scratched theirs. You see, the quid pro quo system doesn't come into play with your enemies because they're not going to help you. But God loved even his enemies. God defines love for us in his holy word. Look at the definition of love here in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. It's not proud. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take account of evil. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Does that sound like the quid pro quo system? No, it's not. Why? Because when you love someone, it's not about what they can give you in return. That's what this is talking about. It's about being unselfish. It's about giving and giving and giving. Real love is gracious. Think about what Jesus said in Luke 6, 32 through 35. He says, if you love them which love you, what thank or grace do you have? What grace do you have if you just love people who love you? That's the quid pro quo system. You love me, I'll love you back. Ah, but no, Jesus said, sinners do that. Everybody does that. How do we distinguish ourselves as Christians? In our love, we've got to love those who don't love us back, right? Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great. Hoping for nothing in return. If we love others expecting to get something back from it, have we really given them love, or are we just being lovers of self? True love gives oneself away. It's generous. It seeks nothing in return. This is very unlike how people in the world construct relationships through the quid pro quo system. But God builds relationships by loving and loving and loving. And then some people say, wow, look what God has done for me. I want to love him too, freely and generously. That's the kind of love that God makes. That's the kind of love that God gives, and that's the kind of love that we need to practice within our lives. And so the world makes relationships in one way, God makes relationships in another, and then God liberates our relationships by helping us to love others in the way that he has loved us. You know, God wants us to be free from anxiety in our personal relationships. A lot of our anxiety is self-imposed. We create it because we assume much and communicate little. But God doesn't want us to think like that. He wants us to think differently. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He wants us to be free from those systems of tyranny and obligation that involved that prisoner friend of mine in the situation that involved him in, where he felt like he couldn't do anything else but what he did. Well, we can feel like that too, not to that extreme, but in other ways. God wants us to be free from that. He wants to liberate us from that. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and verse 2. And sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6 and verse 14. You see that law that Jesus freed us from, that was this notion of mutual obligation, mutual debt. And God wants our relationships to be greater than that, not just based upon what I get out of it, but what I give and what I can continue to give. You see, I'm free when I build my relationships like that. I'm free to love you as much as I want, and it doesn't depend upon you at all. That's freedom, and that's what God wants us to have. And so as we love others, free from these humanly constructed expectations, free from ambition and envy and pride, free from political expectations, free from humanly devised morality that imposes artificial standards on us. God helps us to build real relationships that way. Because now I can really love you for who you are, not for what I expect out of you, or not what I think I can get out of you, or not what I think that you owe me, or that I owe you for that matter. I can love you for the person that God created you to be in His image, after the image of Christ. And that's important, to see people as being valuable in and of themselves, not just as tools to further our own personal desires. Love works no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Owe no one anything except to love one another. How are we building our relationships? I hope we're building our relationships in the same way that God built his relationship with us, by generously and freely giving to others. Maybe this morning you need to start doing that by building your relationship with God, coming to him in the spirit of freedom, loving him by looking to his word and asking yourself, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do? Not what can I do for you, but what do you want me to do? I will do what you want, not what I want. God has a very simple plan that he's given through his son Jesus. Hear his word and believe it. Repent of sins. Confess Jesus as Lord. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. There's no self in that. It's all God, because he's the one who has taught us that. And when we do that, we're loving God just like God loves us, by giving to him what he wants. And maybe this morning there's some who need to start that path. We'd be honored to help you to do that. Or maybe you need the prayers of the church for help in your life, to love others, to get out of some kind of harmful relationship that you're in. We can pray with you, help you. Those needs sometimes need to be discussed further. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. Let's resolve to build our relationships like God wants us to build them, by loving others freely, generously, and without thought of return. And if we can help you this morning, we invite you to come forward right now, while together we stand and while we sing.